kings and queens in luxurious cars, like this 1978 Rolls-Royce Phantom 6, or perhaps the more recent 2002 Bentley State Limousine with its 6.75-litre 400-horsepower engine, armoured glass and bodywork, Kevlar-reinforced tyres, and a top speed of 130 miles an hour. And at the coronation, we've already seen that King Charles will be carried through London in this spectacular gold coach that weighs 4 tonnes, is 8.8 metres long, will be pulled by 8 grey horses, accompanied by 9 grooms, 6 footmen and 4 yeomen. Here in Britain, we do pomp and ceremony well, don't we? We're good at it. But what did the crowds do? What did the crowds do when Jesus came into Jerusalem? What did the crowds do? In our reading, what did the crowds do when Jesus came into Jerusalem? They cut palm leaves, yeah. And they, what else did they do? Sorry, Tina. Can't hear. Hosanna, yes, they shouted. They shouted, didn't they? They shouted and they screamed and they welcomed Jesus. And they shouted, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Okay, so have a look in the chairs in front of you. Some of you already found the palm branches. There are lots around the church. Have a look. If there aren't anywhere you're sitting, have a look at some other chairs. See if you can find them. There are 40 or 50 around somewhere. Okay, so when you see Jesus coming, you know what to do. All right? Here he comes. What are you going to shout? Yeah, and blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And blessed is the King of Israel. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes. Keep going, go on. He's Jesus who's coming, not some little king. Okay. It's a good job we weren't there, isn't it? It would have been a bit quiet, a bit English, a bit British, you know. Oh, welcome, Jesus. Hello. Jolly good to see you. But you notice when Jesus comes, no robes, no diamond crown, just the same clothes as everybody else. No gold state coach, no footmen, no guards, not even one horse. No Rolls Royce, no Bentley. No, Jesus comes just riding on a donkey. A young donkey. But the people welcome him as king. They shout and they wave the palm branches. But Jesus doesn't look much like a king. So why do the people welcome him like this? What has Jesus done to deserve such enthusiasm? Well, you tell me. What has Jesus done to deserve such an enthusiastic welcome? Yeah, they thought they were going to kick the Romans out. They hated the Romans, the occupying army. Yeah, that's one of the things they thought. What else have they seen Jesus do that they thought, hey, miracles? Yeah, what sort of miracles? Raise Lazarus from the dead. We get him mentioned at the end there, don't we? Yeah, what else has he done? Turn water into the best possible wine, yeah. And he's walked on water, and he's calmed the storm, and he's healed the sick, and he's cast out evil, and he's taught with authority like nobody else has ever taught. And because Jesus had done all of that and so much more, the people knew that Jesus had real power and real authority, unlike anybody else had ever had. Because it was becoming obvious that Jesus had God's power and God's authority. So then, if Jesus is so powerful, if he has so much authority, if he is so very special, if he is the king, why does he arrive in Jerusalem on a donkey? Well, John tells us in verses 14 and 15. Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. That is a young donkey. Do you see why Jesus did it? Because it is written. Because it is written. Because God said that it would happen. God had said hundreds of years before, through the prophet Zechariah, that this is how Jesus, King of Israel, King of God's people, King of the world, would ride into Jerusalem. But notice also what Zechariah said. He said something to the people. He said, "Do not be afraid." You see, we've seen that Jesus has all the authority and power in the world. He can calm a storm. He can raise the dead. He can do whatever he wants to do. So it would be natural, really, for the people to be afraid of Jesus. Because he's that kind of king with that kind of power. Now, I need a couple of people just to come and help me for a few minutes. Yeah, come on in. And one other person to come. Come on. I probably need someone a bit older than you, Jack. Go on then, Seb. Our faithful helper. Right. Since you're first, you come up here. Right, you're the king, okay? So, let's put a purple robe on you. Let's pop that over your head. There we are. And then you've got a throne to sit on. And, of course, we need to... Archbishop of Canterbury, here we come. Put the crown on your head. Hope your head's not too big. There we are. Very good. Here we have our king. And, of course, the normal thing is that us ordinary people, like Seb, what do? Well, we come into the king and we bow, don't we? We kneel before him. Yes, that's what normal people do, isn't it? They kneel before the king. But it's not like that with Jesus, is it? So, thank you, Seb. It's not like that. No, stay there. Stay there, stay there. What does Jesus do? Well, actually, what he does is he says, I'm going to come down off the throne. I'm not going to wear a crown. I'm not going to wear a robe like that. In fact, Seb, you sit on the chair, and Jesus, you kneel at his feet. You see what Jesus does? He comes, he reverses it all. And Jesus comes and he actually washes. I won't ask you to do it, don't worry. He washes our smelly, dirty feet. He washes our smelly, dirty lives. That's what's happening here. This is Jesus is showing how humble he is. There. Thanks, guys, very much. Go and sit down. But you see, the disciples don't understand that that is the sort of king that Jesus is. So verse 16, at first the disciples did not understand all of this, didn't understand why Jesus was riding in on a donkey. Only after Jesus was glorified, notice that, only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been done to him. Now, King Charles III will be glorified, shown in all his finery and splendor on May the 6th at his coronation. When will Jesus be glorified? When will Jesus be shown in all his splendor? Anyone? Well, when he's returned to earth, yes, but he did that before that, as John says he did it some other place. Phil knows. I know Phil knows. If Phil doesn't know, if Phil doesn't answer this question, he gets the sack tomorrow, okay? At the cross. Well done, Phil. So, no throne for Jesus. No. What he does is he shows his glory on the cross. And what's the crown that Jesus wears? It's the crown of thorns, isn't it? Yeah, Jesus wears the crown of thorns. And then what happens is that the Romans put a sign on the cross. They mock him. They put the sign on that says, Jesus, King of the Jews. That's your king, nailed to a cross, blood streaming down his face from his hands and his feet. And it's only after Jesus has died that the disciples realize that this is the true glory of Jesus. And John then reminds us what this achieved. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. Do you see, this Jesus who arrives in his city on a donkey is the same Jesus who has the power to raise the dead. So we don't have to be afraid of this Jesus because he comes to bring us life. He hasn't come with as a warrior with an army and tanks and bullets and guns. No, Jesus wages war against evil, against sin, and against death. So Jesus comes in peace on a donkey. And he uses his power for his people. He uses his power for you and for me to bring life from the dead. And then the Pharisees say to one another, see, this is getting us nowhere. Oh, too right, Pharisees. It is getting you nowhere. In fact, it's all the time achieving exactly what God wants it to achieve, isn't it? And then they say, look how the whole world has gone after him. Well, little did they know that 2,000 years later, here we would be, here in Tunbridge Wells, all these thousands of miles away, celebrating the fact that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey as our king. We, you see, today we have gone after Jesus, haven't we? We have made him our king. We have allowed him to have rule and authority over us. And we have allowed him to be our gentle, humble king who brings us life. Life now and life from the dead. He is the king who kneels at our feet, at your feet, to wash your feet and bring you forgiveness and new life. That is the king who rides into Jerusalem. That is the glory of King Jesus. And the obvious question for each one of us here this morning, for each one of you, is Jesus your king? Or are you serving some other king? Yourself? Your family? Your work? Your home? Your bank balance? Your pension fund? Who are you really serving? What gets you out of bed in the morning? Is it Jesus? And the thought of serving him today? Who is it? What is it that helps you to sleep well at night? Is it confidence that Jesus is your king? Or is it self-confidence? Who is your king, even this morning? Let's just be quiet for a moment, and then we'll pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for our King Jesus. We thank you for all his power and might and authority that is unmatched. But we thank you also that he is our humble king. That he came to serve us, not to be served by us. Thank you that he comes to kneel before us and lift us up and make us his people now and forever. Help us, Heavenly Father, day by day to trust him, to follow him, to give him our all. And we ask this for his name's sake. Amen.